Moncrief on News Talk.
You seem to think you're being held here as criminals. Is that correct?
Well, I mean, we are in a prison.
You certainly are. A prison in which you're being held on remand until such time as your case goes before a state judge for decision.
So how long will that be, then?
5 or 6 years is a good guess to face trial. Thereabouts. Courts in this country are, sadly, rather backed up.
We're British citizens, you daft. Whatever shape your banana republic's laid up in, it's hardly any of his or my doing, is it?
That's Stags. There are new episodes of that every Wednesday on Paramount Plus. James Dempsey joins us once again. Afternoon, James.
Afternoon.
So the idea of people getting arrested and in trouble on a stag do, that's a totally original concept.
They are up to no good and yes. Then they come undone. Yes. No, it is a totally rehashed concept.
Yeah.
But actually, it's the shortest lived version of that story ever, because this isn't really like a stag do undone in trouble thing. This is quote unquote Brits abroad in prison, really, right?
Right,
as in,
okay.
As in, it only takes about 10 minutes before they're in prison in the running time of a 40-minute episode. Mm. And by then, the stag has already ended because they're at the airport on their way back, right? So it comes from a guy named Daniel Cullen, who is an Irish writer. This is his first, original creation show, but he has written on Bad Sisters, which I really liked,
and
Smother, which I really didn't. But to give Smother its credit, it has found like an international streaming audience. It streams in other parts of the world, so... Mm. People obviously something in it that I don't. And it stars obviously a large cast because it surrounds a groom and his stag do. The main guy is Stu, played by Nico Mirallegro, who is a graduate of the Hollyoaks School of Acting. And there is a bit of Irish interest as well in the cast-ish in the form of Sophie Lenglinger, who is an Austrian actress who graduated from the Lear Academy here. But like... Put it this way, I heard the accent, I was like, she's Irish, look her up. And when I discovered she was Austrian and doing an Irish accent, I was like so impressed because this
okay,
is like
fair
a really
juice.
Flawless yeah. Irish yeah. accent. And probably the other biggest name in it would be, or well, face, I would say, is Paul Foreman, who's a Swiss actor who has a lot more to do here than he does in Emily in Paris, put it that way.
Okay. Right?
But all in, it follows the aforementioned Stu on his stag do in an unspecified... South American country that seems to be run in a despotic, illegal, like military brass style way.
Okay.
And the stag do with Clem, the Irish vet, separated from them originally, find themselves on this island that I would say is akin to the prison from, I want to say, season 3 of Prison Break, where they have to break free from some... I think it was Panama-based prison system.
Okay.
Like as in, this is a prison where there's everything going on, right? Including
okay.
a turf war between a brother and sister, Selma and Branko, played with subtitles by two, authentically Spanish-speaking actors.
So it's a mixed prison, is it?
It's a mixed prison island where anything can happen. And there's, kidneys being sold and characters being beaten and murdered left, right and centre.
Lovely.
And therein comes kind of the rub for me, right? Now, what I want to hand it to this show with is it is made by the same producers as Sex Education. So it sort of has that Sex Education sheen. By that, I don't mean that like the costumers have gone out and found the most perfectly vintage 70s, 80s, 90s clothing they could, because everyone's in a yellow prison uniform here. But like it looks polished. It looks really nicely put together. It's got a great soundtrack and frenetic action. But just for me, tonally, I can't quite decide what this is, right? Because I thought it was lads, lads, lags, stags, 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 drugs, 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 prison, 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 right?
Yeah.
But actually, very, very quickly, it becomes incredibly violent at times. Then there's a bit of scatological humour thrown in. Then there's some jokes. Then there's some death of major characters that you will not see coming. Then there's everything in the kitchen sink. So in the 3 episodes that I've seen, with the next one to come on Wednesday, I still just don't quite know what show this is, because so much is happening at all times. And there are so many characters. I mean, I think there's 12 or, you know, eight in the Stag Do. Hmm. And each of them is following a slightly different, you know, story path on this island.
Right. So, but the story is really about them surviving prison yes. rather than anything else.
Yes.
So,
and
so
even
this is Orange is the New Black in
Orange
South
jumpsuits.
America. Yeah.
Right. And even at the, you know, the teaser right at the very beginning of the, you know, the show is a couple of Spanish speaking, unclear which South American country prison guards walking through a prison while it appears some supernatural ghost thing is haunting them. So I don't know what else is left to come in the show,
okay.
but it seems a lot.
Right.
So what I will say is, right, this is a Paramount Plus original. Paramount Plus was very late to the game here on this side of the Atlantic in the streaming battles. It is, you know, it's kind of person who turns up to your party without a bottle of wine, right? Like the content isn't quite there. And compared to the US, like our library is very, very, very much diminished compared to what is on Paramount Plus in the US. But it as yet...
Why would you buy a subscription?
Well, that's exactly the point I'm getting yeah. to, right? Like... So far in its original shows, none of them have been, you know, absolute showstopper hits, water cooler moments, right? They just have, that hasn't happened yet.
Yeah.
This is interesting. There are parts of it that I like and it's a bit odd and there's just a lot going on and tonally I'm all over the place, but it's the kind of thing that I've, you know, there are many shows here that I watch to like talk about here and then they are immediately gone from my brain.
Yeah.
I don't ever remember them once I've left this confines of this room. But this, I'm kind of like, I kind of want to see what happens, right? And I know that's
okay.
not a glowing endorsement, but it's all I got.
Yeah, just in a kind of a, what are you going to do
yeah.
with all this kind of way? Okay, so that's kind of intriguing. Right, the next show is called Quiet on Set, The Dark Side of Kids TV. You can stream all episodes now on Discovery Plus. Here's a clip.
It was a different time, so I think it was a little easier to go to and from a courthouse and not worry about Twitter that night or TMZ paparazzis being there. On the day of sentencing for Brian, I get to the courthouse. It was the most unbelievable thing I'd ever seen. His entire side of the courtroom was full. Full. There were definitely some recognizable faces on that side of the room. And my side was me, my mom, and my brother.
Mm. I know this has just come out, James, but can I feel like it's they've been leaking bits of it beforehand or you know, that there is a massive scandal about
yeah,
making kids' TV.
Very much so, right? So I think a kind of a very significant development was the publication of this autobiography memoir by someone who features in the show but is not a direct interviewee. She's an actress named Jeanette McCurdy and the book is called I'm Glad My Mom Died and it is excellent, but it's about growing up as a child star and the pressures of having a Hollywood parent, you know,
yeah.
star-seeking helicopter parent type. And that, I guess, and the Me Too movement ultimately led to this expose about a super producer named Dan Schneider. Now, I am old enough that I know all of the shows, the Nickelodeon shows, but without, like, I'm too old to have watched them, if you get
yeah,
me, right?
Yeah.
But, like, the main things that he's known for are All That, which is a kid's sketch comedy show, iCarly, which has actually been brought back by Paramount Plus as
wow.
an adult show.
Okay.
Drake and Josh, and that we heard Drake Bell in the interview in the clip there, and Zoe 101. And these are shows that I was just, yeah, like I was aware of them as an older teen, if you get me, right?
Yeah.
But if I had been like 12 years old at the, in, you know, at this period of viewing, this would have been what I would have been consuming because of the nature of TV at the time and the fact that children didn't have smartphones. So,
yes,
so
yes.
they sat down and watched whatever was on Nickelodeon or Disney Plus. And this is a really well-made four-part documentary with a fifth-part interview thing that is kind of worth skipping, right? But the what I was most struck by here is there is the real potential for this to become salacious very, very, very quickly, right? You have all of these now adult performers, some who have left the industry, talking about the experiences they had when they were children on these various shows run by this guy named Dan Schneider. And, you know, the material could go very wrong in the wrong hands. And instead here we have it very well handled by Mary Robertson, who also made Framing Britney Spears a couple of years ago, an excellent documentary about Britney's conservatorship and kind of media attention around that, and Emma Schwartz. And they have been rightly nominated for an Emmy for this, right? So like, it has pedigree to it. I also thought, as a documentary which is exposing the dangers of the dangers that young children are exposed to on Hollywood sets in particular, was really enlightening in other ways. You know, the first of the four episodes is actually not really so much about the children. It's about two female writers in a kind of pre-Me Too movement. Not so much like not in receipt of sexual abuse, but workplace bullying and a culture of toxic, a toxic environment in which to be a female writer. So much so that like between the two of them, they had to share one contract and one wage, whereas all the men are getting promoted. And one of them actually goes on to say that she took a, you know, a case against him and has never worked again. And like, if you look at her IMDb, the only credit is eight episodes of, you know, iCarly and literally nothing else. And they are very forthcoming with their stories. And then it leads into the stories of abuse on set, which is mental, physical, sexual. And it is eye dropping, you know, like when you're listening to these stories being told about how these children were worked very hard and how there was extremely lax safeguarding by everyone on the set, including to some degree their parents. And then it even talks to their parents and they're sort of in the sidelines saying, I was watching this thinking this is really weird, this is wrong, but like his dream is to be on the show and suddenly he's on the show and I don't want to be the only parent causing a problem because then they're going to get fired.
Yeah.
Or you have these child stars talking about how they viewed this as a potential route out of poverty for their family, that they were, you know, the main financial income for their family and therefore they just kind of kept doing things they found very uncomfortable because that's just what you had to do in order to make it. So all in...
Now, when you say, I mean, that's not, we don't have details about this, but presumably these were kids.
Minors,
They were doing things that made them uncomfortable as part of the acting job or outside of that.
So in one of these shows, which is All That, which is a sketch comedy show, they did this kind of like version of almost like Fear Factor, where they would be have like scorpions put in their mouths or like have to sit in a bath and be covered in snakes or like insects or like bush tucker trial stuff. But like these are 12 year old children, right, on TV.
Okay,
and that they like, you know, that they found this incredibly, you know, overwhelming, as you would, but yet they just sort of went through it. And then as well as that, there are repeated instances where they talk about like different jokes that were put in that like certainly through a modern lens seem really uncomfortable and really inappropriate, and like just things involving body parts and metaphors and allusions to extremely adult things over and over and over again before we even get to the like three pedophiles that worked on the set as well, right?
Right.
Like it is just eye-opening and alarming, and it really sort of shows that safeguarding of children is really important.
Yeah, and Schneider enabled all this? Was responsible for this? Or?
So, yeah, some and some not. I would say absolutely none of the abuse, right? Yeah. The sexual abuse, absolutely not. And Drake Bell, who we hear in the interview there, he is extremely complimentary of Dan Schneider after the fact of that. And, you know, he revealed this abuse in this interview. It was unknown that it was him. And he's like a huge Nickelodeon star of that era, right?
Yeah.
But Schneider, certainly it would seem, was removed from various sets, was not allowed to interact with his young actors after a while. In Jeanette McCurdy's memoir, it's assumed he's the person that is referred to only ever as the producer, and there's a lot of uncomfortable passages about his interaction with her as a young teenager. Just a very toxic boss, let's just say.
Yeah. That's extraordinary stuff. Because some of the, like, I remember some of these from my kids watching them. Are these shows, I wonder, still streaming and Would people feel weird looking at it now?
Yeah, yeah. Sorry, you mean the kids?
Yeah, sorry. As in Drake and Josh and Zoe 101 and all that stuff.
Yeah,
you know?
So some of them are like, yeah, I think a lot of them are on Paramount Plus because Paramount Plus is the sort of father company, mother, you know, conglomerate of Nickelodeon. So a lot of them are there. I don't know if they have scrubbed, you know, some of the more highly inappropriate material. I haven't gone back through it.
Yes, yeah.
But it should be, to be honest.
Indeed. And it's four episodes, but there's a fifth one.
There's a fifth one that's like extra interviews and extra footage and includes, Dan Schneider released a video in which he responded to some of the claims.
Right, okay.
And it includes his, you know, answers to the participants. It's not really worth watching. The main four parts are.
Yeah, but he's not interviewed in the main four parts. Presumably didn't want to take part. Right, our third show today is The Walking Dead, Dead City. You can stream all episodes now on Sky Max. Here's a clip.
You want to tell me where the hell we're going, or is it just some big-ass surprise?
Chelsea Pierce.
Like I said, the boats are sunk. Pier, no boats. Don't that seem a few ass hairs short of a dingleberry?
Don't need boats. Just a dock. It floats. All we gotta do is disconnect it.
You're from here. You're a New Yorker.
The Bronx. Work for the state. Drift collection boats. Scooping up debris. Keeping the rivers clean. What were you?
Work for the state too. Gym teacher.
Cracking dialogue there. Is this just the same thing, just in a different location?
Yeah. Right. Like I was kind of surprised. And first of all, how could you set The Walking Dead in New York and not call it I'm Dead Walking Here? Right?
Yeah.
You know? So basically, The Walking Dead ran for 11 seasons. Mm. My jaw dropped when I saw the final season has something like 26 episodes, something absolutely insane, right?
Yeah.
It was extremely successful for a while. I mean, one of the most successful shows on cable TV or in the US with like 17 million viewers per episode. And of course, it ran its course and over time people lost interest and that diminished rather abruptly to like 2 million by its final season. But since in the last year, they have brought back three new spin-offs. And that's not even counting the three previous spin-offs that there has been. So the three we got this time are Daryl Dixon, which at least finds him in Paris, in France, right? So
okay.
At least there's...
Aha, les zombies!
Les zombies arrivent, right? But there's the ones who live, which is Michonne and I can't remember the main guy's name, the sheriff, Andrew Lincoln guy, right?
Mm.
Who disappeared circa season 9, but is, of course, not dead because unless you're, well, you don't die in The Walking Dead. And here we get The Walking Dead, Dead City. And they have all just arrived on Sky Max, although they all aired in the US a year ago, roughly. And this was the first one to air, but it's the last one to arrive on our shores. And I guess I just was interested to see how are they going to move this on? You know, like what, you know, because I did watch The Walking Dead at its, you know, for maybe about seven seasons before giving up on it. And it was violent and it was gory and it was always in need of levity, I always felt. It was always just so grim, so endlessly grim. And here, what they have done is mercifully reduced the number of episodes.
Yes.
So there's only six in the season, but it follows Maggie and Negan, voiced by Jeffrey Dean Morgan, who we heard in the clip there. Negan is the big bad villain of many seasons of it, but they have teamed up to go across the, I guess, Hudson into Manhattan, where they are looking for Maggie's son. And what they have done is exactly the same thing they do in every season. They have one baddie. He is the Croat, who is based, I think, in Madison Square Garden. He commands the ardor and forces of the living and seemingly the dead, and he has kidnapped her son, and they're on the hunt for him. And, you know, I feel like I've seen that story before just in the South.
Why is the Croat kidnapped her son? Anyway, what particular uses or something?
To move the plot along.
Like, has he got money? Is it?
Basically, he wanted food from them. Like, it was all explained off camera, if you get me. He had already kidnapped him before the show even started, right? But basically, all in, I just was so disheartened to see that it was literally just the same thing again, except now with crumbling skyscrapers.
Yeah. Yeah. And I suppose it's kind of like one of those, if you like this kind of thing,
Yeah, I guess. And look, I think that this is, you know, this one is not done. I believe a second season of this is coming. A second season of The Walking Dead, Daryl Dixon in France continues on. I think the other one is done, as far as I'm aware. But it just seems like I cannot believe that The Walking Dead has such life in it, you know, that like that it has just managed to maintain for now probably 12 to 14 years.
Yeah.
A constant stream of the zombies. I'd like.
Well, could it be like, are all that, like, is New York essentially CGI'd? They haven't, like, destroyed bits. So, so they have all these people in zombie costumes and just, you know, change the green screen,
bring
in three new actors, say, right, they're the same zombies.
Yeah, but I sort of.
Economies of scale.
But I was hoping that they would, you know, at least be running around the Met or, like, Central Park or somewhere. But instead, it's the same backlot where they've always filmed street scenes and alleyways and so on. And it's the same storylines and it's the same kind of dialogue. And really, it's the same drudgery. But look, if you are a zombified viewer yourself and you enjoy that kind of thing, go for it.
Yeah, someone says, just finished watching Walking Dead, Dead City. Another spin-off, Negan and Maggie, same combo, grim but thrilling viewing. All the same, as there's still no change there, they all still look like extras from Thriller. Having watched Daryl as he's dreary. Okay, well, you know, give it a show. It's The Walking Dead, of course, it's bloody grim. What did you expect them to do? Break into song, maybe?
Well, I know,
says Chris.
There's one version of The Walking Dead, one spin-off, I think it's Walking Dead, like Stories or something, and it has a really bizarre Groundhog Day style episode where people are trapped in a time loop going around and around and around, reliving the same day over and over again.
Okay.
So they do sometimes break into comedy, but the fans hate it.
That is, yeah, that's saving money. But they could throw in the odd joke.
Yeah,
you know?
I think so
and,
too. Yeah.
You know, there's a bit of levity occasionally in The Last of Us, which isn't exactly, which is the same thing. Those three shows are Stags, new episodes every Wednesday at Paramount Plus. Quite on set, The Dark Side of Kids TV. You can stream all episodes now on Discovery Plus. And The Walking Dead, Dead City. You can stream all episodes now on Sky Max. James Dempsey, thanks a million.
Moncrief, weekdays at 2 p.m. on News Talk.